Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run, your drive time show here on Eagle FM. As always, we're here Monday to Friday, 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. And today we are blessed with one awesome weather, you know, that weather that I like to point out that it the most positive weather ever. And only, you know, only winter can compete with this weather, contributes to both, not even winter can compete with this weather. Contributes to both growth of agriculture and population. Winter contributes to population, agriculture not so much. But so thank you for tuning in wherever you are joined us, wherever you're tuned in from. So we'll take it from here. Don't worry whether you are driving or relaxed at the comfort of your living room. We'll be here to keep you company. Isn't that why you tuned in? If you are new, you're welcome. If you're a veteran, salute.
And what else, Helmut? It's not just veterans and non-veterans.
Oh, would you prefer I go with regular?
Well, I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about the use of the word.
Oh, okay.
Are there also newbies, new listeners, people we converted?
Make it sound, you know,
from their wayward lives, you know, to becoming. Well, we can't say. I don't know if you're upstanding. I'm trying to be upstanding citizen, you know, in that scenario.
Oh, no. Look, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I am a law-abiding citizen. There are a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
Reason number one is I like the comfort of my living room. Reason number two is I like the comfort of my bathroom.
Mm.
When I'm taking a shower, I want to be able to pick a soap without having to think twice. So, yeah. So jail for me, not an option. So... Plus, you know, I don't think. Wait, do they have video games in jail?
No.
Yeah, no.
Not in Namibia.
Yeah, that killed. Yeah, I mean, that just that makes me obey Namibian laws even more. Yeah. Look, I don't like going out, but I like to have the freedom that if I want to go out, I can go out. But if you are behind bars, I mean, I don't know.
There's very little.
Yeah, you have a very little freedom. Plus, I think they're one of the reasons why everyone should be a law-abiding citizen. I'm too old to have a roommate. you. What type of nonsense is that? Not having a fully grown man for a roommate.
All right.
On so, a bunk bed, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so, it's words of wisdom, dear listeners, words of wisdom.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Now,
maintain the law-abiding component.
Especially this time of the year. It's November, and December is around the corner, and this is the time when, when we are nearing December or when we are nearing a weekend, that's the, you know, that's the worst time you could get on the wrong side of the authorities, because they'll just, well, toss you in there and it's like, where were we on Christmas? Right. See you in February. So don't, you know, I wouldn't do that. Traffic is even heavy this time, becomes heavy this time of the year because, everyone is traveling somewhere and you know what that happens? You know what happens in those situations? So does, the statistics on road rage also goes through the roof. And, there are people that are going through, someone is going through a Mijolo situation at home and then they start, you know, yelling at you in the road. You think they're mad at you? Don't entertain that. Someone was made two weeks ago. They're just, thank you for being the exit. So if I were you, I'll just, mind my own business and run for my life. It's not worth my freedom. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about development. And this is development in terms of, development the Namibian way. We talk a lot about, we talk a lot about development in terms of foreign direct investment. Let a severe, very loaded one come from somewhere outside to come and put their money in our country so we can develop.
Yeah.
So, last week, the public and private sector came together, and had a 3-day event where they talked about, how can we collaborate? so that we can basically develop, in the words of in the words of the MC, develop Namibia and its people.
Yeah.
So you had representatives, obviously. Well, the president was there. It had a lot of the event had a lot of big names. It is it was an inaugural event, the first of its kind. NAMPPF. Does everything really have to have NAM? And you have a Namibia public private forum.
Well,
we are in Namibia. They could have just called it public private forum,
you know.
Yeah,
but it's probably to make it more an ownership thing of to say it's all of us participating. You see, when people use certain words, Helmut, it's to signal something. It's to say subconsciously this is for all of us, but it technically was a glorified platform.
It was giving UNAM of Botswana for me.
What?
Nothing. A platform?
It was a glorified platform, obviously, to now showcase people going sit on stage, and then they throw ideas around. I'll start with a particular talking point that's central to a discussion for development.
Yeah.
And it's once again a concept that I'm borrowing from that accounting professor that I watch on YouTube a lot, Richard Murphy. So Murphy, obviously in the UK, they've got their own particular political noise going on, but he did a video on based upon whether or not government debt is bad or good, or is good or bad, whichever way.
Government
debt.
Okay.
So what is the reason behind government debt? Well, the government borrows the money to achieve certain particular services to the benefit of all of us. Yeah. I'm summarizing that for all of us. Now, at the height of the discussion, obviously in a place like the UK, there were various political debates going about, you know, whether or not if the wealth tax is introduced in the UK, would the rich people in that country run away to other cheaper places or domains?
That's the issue also, basically, in most parts of the developing world, including the US. The fear is that if you
increase,
you know,
wealth tax.
You enforce the taxation of increase, or, you know, or more like enforce heavily the, you know, corporate tax.
Yeah,
on high income earning individuals, then you know, there will be what they call, what's that, the term, capital flight.
Yeah, capital flight, or they'll call it, all the rich people will leave, or all the business owners will look for somewhere else to go. But at the heart of the discussion, Almud, the thing which is killing UK businesses, for the example, was the Brexit. But before that, ad break.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. So the biggest UK mistake, Brexit.
Yeah, so obviously Brexit is a completely different thing with regards to our NAMPPF discussion. But the primary discussion based upon government debt. Government debt is a discussion of the government needs to achieve certain goals for everyone. Yeah. So the certain goals of everyone are the responsibilities, the mandates of where the government ends. But you can break the government up into various levels that it occupies. Because in many cases, in everyone's minds, when we say government, and even when the president spoke at this, public-private forum, we all had a mental image of just its ministries, ministries, ministries. But not always, Helmut. At the heart of this particular talking point and what I am continuously stressing. And specifically, I want all those potential newbie, local authority, councillors who are now promoting and campaigning now across the country. For all you guys, your message should technically be about how you can literally unlock local procurement in your vicinity. Because the thing is, that whole hall 2 weeks back was filled with high-level governmental officials. Did they have the governors there? Did they have the mayors of every town there? The chairmen of every regional council there? Because, Helmut, when we talk about...
We're back to everything decentral.
Exactly. This centralization discussion must stop. We have a nice air-conditioned venue here in Windhoek. And it's just a bunch of Windhoekers showing up. Do you know who should also have been there?
Yeah.
The Namibian police have. The head of the Namibian police as well. Why? Because where a urban center expands, the police have a new headache.
Yep.
There are new houses who have occupants, families. Potentially there would be someone there who has got certain weird social tendencies. And then you've got a new social issue to deal with. Because the police, just like the health sector, are a society-geared organ. And this this particular organ is geared specifically towards dealing with issues of peace, stability, and crime-fighting initiatives. It's not up to you and me, Helmut. To be annoyed and mad after work, finding out your place had been broken into because the guys next door don't have jobs, and they see every payday you are showing up with lovely shopping bags. Now you are becoming sort of like the repository or the depository of their particular well-being. And you can see their foot, and you can see their footprints in the sand even as they jumped over the fence and jumped back over. So when you sit with a scenario like that, the discussion is also that you've got to try and alleviate such instances. The petty crime, the unnecessary crime, the overloading of work, for example, the magistrates are busy right now striking there in, what's the place's name? But the magistrates are ongoing with their own particular strike. The magistrates have got a unique issue, Helmut, because they are the lower courts. And you, as my co-host specifically, who's got much more knowledge about the court systems in Namibia, you know that the lower courts are the largest footprint of our justice dispensation network.
Yeah, because they handle most of the petty crimes.
Yeah. They are the processing center, not the police station. The police station is just there to throw you into the cell and then charge sheet is pulled up and is developed, and then the officer has to make sure everything is fine, and then they drag you off to court the Monday or the Sunday, depending on the severity of the crime.
You can imagine someone being dragged to the Supreme Court for snatching a cell phone.
No, the Supreme Court will bounce like, that
wait,
down.
What?
The Supreme Court will bounce that thing down to the lower courts and say,
there is where you tell that here we are dealing with the
constitution issues.
Exactly. Yeah. When you create a political party and have a presidential election dispute. That's where
we come in.
Or it's a
platform where we have to explore whether or not a foreign nation needs to be tried in a local court of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically for crimes committed.
A constitutional provision for that.
Yeah. Whether or not this country that enjoys immunity needs to be approached as a, what do they call it? As a wrongdoer. I'm using the word wrongdoer because you can't actually label a whole country as a criminal. But it did commit a crime, the specific country. So when you sit with a situation like that, Helmut, the first thing that I always pull back to for what is currently going on is that where were those prefabricated courts that were supposed to be built between 2015 and 2019 when you and I listened last year to that audio from that Standing Committee of Legal Affairs and Constitution? Was those prefabricated courts would have helped with the whole workload that these magistrates are busy striking about.
Yeah.
Secondly, the accommodation. The government houses that were supposed to be built across the country in all the small towns for the legal assistance of the legal assistance officials, because you can't have everyone staying in Windhoek.
Yeah,
a crime is committed somewhere there in the bush, and the court, the closest jurisdiction is in the regional headquarters of that region. You have to prosecute there. You need officials there.
Yeah.
So when you look at things like that, those are the things that the government has to sort out itself. It has its own issues to sort out. So now you come to a discussion of the local authorities, which is the other side of the government. The local authorities, Elmwood, are supposed to sort of like do what was done in Okahania. Invite private business to build a mall. The town never had a mall. The town had the quintessential CBD.
Oh, come on, the hell do you say?
No, they never had a mall. They tried most with, was it NIDA? Or who was the other agency that tried building that business development park on your way out of Okahania to the coast? As you're trying to go to the coast now. Yeah. You know that industrial park you're on the left hand side as you're driving out of Okahania, not coming to Windhoek, going that way to Otjiwarongo.
There's an industrial area coming to Windhoek?
No, not to Windhoek.
Yeah.
As you're going out. That's what I'm saying.
I would have seen one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, was not to Vintuk's direction. You're heading either Otjiwarongo or to the coast direction.
Yeah.
That industrial park situation here on the left, that was supposedly supposed to be the business incubation side of Okahania.
Supposed to be. So it didn't
work. A whole bunch of tractors and a whole bunch of heavy earth moving equipment. But the actual thing that actually gives jobs is actually the consumer sector, the consumer private sector of this country. So if you had in that town, Helmut, a clothing or garment factory, like that dormant thing standing there in Gurunguru, and you bring that thing here to Okahania,
yeah,
and you know that Okahania has got a vibrant population distribution, there are people that you can quickly upskill to do tailoring and sewing and all those particular things, and then they make clothing for a local shop there in Okahania that then also transports and exports across the country to all shops across the country. Remember our buddy from the broccoli endeavor in Kavango West?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What was his issue? They tried selling to a chain retail store, business, which is also present in Windhoek. Those guys transport the broccoli to Windhoek, book it in, repackage it in boxes, drive it all the way back to Nkurunguru. Now, he asked even the question, even though I didn't answer his question for him, but he asked it sort of like rhetorically to us, the audience.
Yeah,
why would they spend all that time driving down and then bringing it back up?
Because it's also factored into the cost.
It's not just that. Helmut, Windhoek is the centralized sorting station or distribution hub for everything. And the more, and it seems like even the particular policymakers don't hear this, everything drives through Windhoek. If you made a Tsumep or a Grootfontein or an Otjiwarongo, another particular sort of like a distribution hub of services, products, and even, providing support services, I could understand that. But imagine just what that guy, that broccoli guy, explained. He's selling to a chain retail. He's selling to the buyer of a massive retail giant in Namibia. He's selling to that buyer. That buyer says, "We'll bring up the truck with the boxes for you to package the stuff in,
everything, and then
and the stickers for you to put onto the produce.
Yeah.
Put them in that boxes, and we'll buy everything you have." He was saying, "Sure,
thank you,
nice, good stuff." And then when he asked the driver, "Where are you going?" "No, I'm first going to Windhoek." Why? Because this is the central processing hub for everything.
So we
business.
Can't take it directly from we can't take it directly from your farm
to the
to
closest
that specific branch of this specific retail.
Because they've not been empowered. Now, even though he said that same retail giant in Namibia has got a shop in Nkurunguru, that shop does not buy directly. Does not have the
they don't buy
they
buy
don't have the power
to take, for example, from a local farmers if they wanted to buy some produce.
Exactly. Because why? If you look at the food security policy of Namibia, it's a question of a national distribution.
Straight to the policies.
A national distribution. So obviously a formal private sector will say, "We will follow your policy. We will try and meet you on your policy.
Yeah.
We will try to do as good to your policy as intend, as you intended for your policy to speak to. So technically, in a sense, you see already private sector doing their bit, but they're doing it based on calculated risk. We want to be sure of where we're spending money. It shouldn't be money and it just flies away, or money and it flies to another country, to India, for condoms. But you could have produced those condoms here. And then you have weird instances. Just completely weird instances. Now, it's a good thing, Helmut, that we're unbundling all these particular talking points that come through from the NAM PPF. Because I'll start with one that actually I played yesterday morning on yesterday's, the early morning scoop as well. This is another sector I'm also very sensitive about because it's very close to my heart. You yourself also for your sector. The gentleman I interviewed, Mr. Haikale, for yesterday's early morning scoop based upon certifications that you would get from agencies like, or international bodies like FIFA, World Rugby, the ICC. You know, they give you, in FIFA, they give you licensing to become a coach. It's like a license. It's a similar thing to like the international computer driver's license. Do you know about that license?
Yeah.
The ICDL license. Not many people know about that certification, but that certification technically is a universal certification that tells anyone that Helmut, if he has this ICDL certification, he can train anyone in computer user skills. You know, the basics of Microsoft Office, the basics of switching on the monitor, switching off the box.
In high school, they call that computer literacy.
That too. All that is a universally recognized Microsoft certified certification, not an NQA certified certification, not a NAST, UNAM, IUM, you name it. It's not a locally thing, not a local thing. It's an international standard coming through from a private sector company. Second scenario is, look at FIFA. Mandate of football. Now, the lovely explanation that Mr. Haikale provided yesterday.
Mr. Haikale's explanation on the other side of the break.
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to the.
Welcome back. We continue.
Yeah. So,
explanation.
So the explanation that Mr. Haikale gave in yesterday morning's EMS was, when you start looking at the discussion of a sector's goal. Now, NDB6 cites sport and youth development next to each other as well. Yeah. But then also youth development and something else is also next to each other. And then the arts and culture and arts and performing arts scene as well, wherein your other particular sort of like passion falls within in that scenario. Now, in all scenarios, yes, you can absorb and you can promote youth development. But there's a fundamental thing first. There's a whole bunch of adults that you first need to allow to technically become the pioneers. Now, what I mean by that. So he asked the question, Mr. Aikale, at that NPPF, NAMPPF, on the third day. I watched it. He asked the question. He stood up and he asked the question of why can't the particular relevant entities in Namibia view certain particular accreditations which are not of an educational basis, but rather of an expertise basis. But it's outside even of the purview of the NTA, the Namibia Training Authority, because yeah. They also grade you on skills. But NQA grades you on relevant, you know, theoretical qualifications that you obtained. Let's say you come from another country,
yeah.
You bring another country's university degree, they've got to grade you with the Namibian system.
Mm-hmm.
You have entities like FIFA, World Rugby, ICC, that they've got money. They can literally invest in your game. But you need a bridge, a mechanism that transcends from thinking of an 8-to-5 job to people that are an expertise job. Helmut, you and I sitting here as two,
you can just,
as two presenters on radio, yeah. We are technically experts.
So you can think of it, you can just think of it from the from the perspective of let's build the economy by creating jobs for everyone.
Yeah, but we are thinking from an 8-to-5 economy
exactly.
Situation.
8-to-5. Everyone has to wake up and go out there and do their job, which is a good thing. But here's the thing. I mean, we can see that. Look, I think this is where we miss. We miss the whole developmental goal.
Yeah.
And I think this is where one size fits all really, really becomes a disadvantage, because the thought of having one size fits all mentality is not going to work. Because first of all, not everyone is looking for a job. A lot of people are just looking for the ease of doing business environment where they can just have their own thing.
There's a majority more people looking for a job.
Yeah.
But the question you have to ask is, what kind of job is it? Is it someone, let's for example, a 16-year-old, they want a holiday job? Well, yeah. They know they've got to be on school.
Yeah.
But you should allow them to step in and take up a holiday
just
job.
Just for a couple of months. Holiday.
My sister used to do that in the 90s before she went to university.
What happened to them? All of them.
She worked at Old Fushini there in at Sunland Building before that, because that was the first Fushini shop. She worked as a casual during her holiday periods.
That's Fushini what now?
Fushini, the woman's clothing shop.
Yeah, I know.
She worked there. And then specifically that was a holiday job period. So we need to encourage things like holiday jobs as well. That's what we need to encourage. Putting money in a 15-year-old's hands, a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old's hands during holiday periods. They build up experience. They can develop their what you call those things, CVs.
Yeah.
They can go and say, I worked here, I worked there. Now it's only left up to the restaurants. And how many restaurants do we have across this country? Right there, Albert.
That's where the discussion of also centralization comes in.
Right.
Because in a lot of rural areas, how many eating establishments are you going to find them? And now, I think the elephant, the elephant in the room that, it wasn't an elephant in the room actually during this discussion Titus Nampala.
Mm.
Yeah, that's something the CEO or Chief Executive Officer of the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, NCCI, pointed out something interesting about information. And that is, you and I have been spoken about this before. That is the biggest, one of those biggest hurdles that the public and private sector have to work out. Although the burden of upping their game in terms of gathering and processing information ASAP, it's leaning more in terms of the lack of efficiency more in the public more in the public sector than it is in the private sector. Obviously in the world of a private sector, information is very important because you are working with competitors. That's easy.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, no one is going to subsidize you if you make a loss. So you have to be up, you know, you have to be on top of the game to gather as much as information as possible and then base that in, so that you can base all your running of day to day activities based on that so that you can stay on the surface.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, for the public sector, you and I think this is now this takes us back to the infrastructure in the that's used in the dispensation of justice in Namibia. The money was made available in 2015, and we just tried to make a follow up to see what happened to that money. When was that? Last year?
Yeah, 2024. Where they also discovered that the door had fallen off at the Oshikati High Court facility.
Yeah, that was last year. Now, look, I may have limited knowledge of this whole thing, but the question I'm asking is, this money was allocated in 2015. You're only doing a follow-up now.
Mm.
Now, I have a question here. What happened between 2015? Because how many things changed between 2015 to 2024? A lot.
Yeah.
Now,
in between was even COVID.
Exactly. In between, yeah. Oh man, that makes it worse. In between, you have COVID. So information gathering. Also, I think information gathering is so important. It basically brings, some parts of yesterday's subject into today. How do you counter, or more like, how do you prepare for, climate change induced, natural disasters?
Mm.
You must have, all the software and hardware and the expertise in place to be able to forecast it for you to prepare for it.
Mm.
Otherwise, then you're just going to be telling people, it's going to be flooding when it's already flooding.
Or the rain is busy falling and it's going to be bad and the rain is already here.
So now, no one has has basically enough time to, no one has enough time to escape.
Yeah.
To high ground. And, speaking of which, if you live in Windhoek, you know that already, but if you are new, welcome to the capital. And if you are driving when it's raining heavily, you don't know your car. You know your car in any situation, but when it comes to high current water flowing in these ditches, you don't know your car.
Mm.
Yeah, don't trust it. We have been through that before,
yeah.
And people have lost their lives, so don't let ego fool you. So, yeah, information gathering, getting information on time. If someone take, for example, from the private, from the public sector, wants to work with a specific, with a private entity, they will obviously want to know a lot of information, like what other projects take, for example, has this entity worked on,
yeah.
Like a background check. I don't think it's rocket science to basically reach the conclusion that if a private entity approached a public entity and asked for asked to render them a service and the public sector put this private entity through their vetting process and found out that they have a questionable history of abandoning projects, are they going to give them that project that they're proposing? They'll be damned to do that.
Mm.
So, now that basically goes for both, that goes for both ways. If the public entity, wanted to work with a private entity and the public entity was not providing enough information that the private entity can work on, even if I was running the private entity, I'd be like, look, I really want to help you, but I need more information to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So, gathering this information and on time, that is going to be one of the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to be positive and talk about these things in terms of it's going to be a challenge because it's not impossible. Because we have a lot of SOEs that are multinational corporations, so it can be done. Yes, you have to be on top of the game when it comes to gathering information.
Yeah.
Question is, how fast can you gather it? That and now you know what the where that takes us?
Yeah.
Is it was that data interoperability?
Yep, definitely. It takes us there immediately.
Straight there.
It then also takes us to another dimension also, Helmut, in terms of the relevance of data. So
everything revolves around data.
You can't show up to a discussion based upon the economy and you haven't updated or brought in a mechanism or a system that actually measures how many people lose their jobs per month and how many new people get jobs per month. Now, South Africa is such a thing. South Africa's own statistics agency is literally a ministry on its own, Stats SA. Stats SA literally does what the American Bureau for Employment, or whatever that bureau's name is, does. And that a bureau in the US is an SOE. It's an agency of the government. It's not a department. That bureau, Helmut, every 3 months it releases employment statistics to the rest of the American economy and to the rest of the economy around the world. And if you ever thought why certain things look weird in oil prices and stuff, it is most cases an employment, unemployment statistical release from the American Bureau of Employment. You come to South Africa, the South Africans do the same thing. Every 3 months, they give you an overview of what has been the employment trends and unemployment trends in the country. That's one of the reasons why I loved what one of the, if I can call him like a veteran economist in Namibia, had cited 2 years back at one of the medium-term budget reviews. One of the budget reviews of former minister, finance minister, Ipumbu Shimi, where the question was put to him, and this was in one of the local newspapers. The question was put to him in terms of, you know, what does he think about this, the medium-term budget review? And one straight question, a simple answer. But before that, ad break.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Stop everything. These bargains that you save are too good to pass by. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 194.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilograms pasta polana, 109.99 Namibian dollars. 10 kilogram top score instant maize porridge, also just 109.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Rama 70% fat spread, just 27.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U brand frozen mixed vegetables, just 36.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes, we all save. You save.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vinduk Original, or Vinduk Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. We continue with the Minister of Finance, former Minister of Finance response. Minister Ipumbushimi.
So when you got to look at that particular response that came, and this was 2 years back, just to be upfront in that particular time frame. It is an economist I've also interviewed here on Eagle FM. And he cited, I won't mention his name yet, but just to give the gist of the story, is that you can't be giving us an economic update for the country if we don't know what employment statistics speak to. And it made so much sense, Helmut, because even when you talk about anything employment development or in development or economic development or even economic diversification, like in today's The Villager e-paper platform, where one of our colleagues, Yemenwa Erastus Vali, wrote today's lead story about Namibia has to diversify its economy, and we've spoken about the diversification component, is that at the heart of this, there's a single most crucial statistic or data set. What is your labor data? Your labor data, Helmut, will help anyone understand what skills we have, who are these people. Secondly, on top of that, is it'll help us understand who has lost jobs and who has gotten a job in recent years. So the reason why I said we really need to talk about that data discussion, like you mentioned before the break, about the interoperability, the dependence on data-driven decision making, as well as also seeing the real world situation on the ground. We also would not have known, Helmut, for all the oversight reports that the oversight committees from the National Assembly and the National Council have been generating. Those things are so underrated. We should actually elevate them to a level that they need to literally be electric. You know, they need more juice, electric juice, in terms of making profound statements about certain particular developments in this country. I mean, the classical thing of finding out a councillor somewhere in another part of the country does not know of any capital project in the region should actually tell every Namibian who's gonna go vote in this month of November. That literally, is this the caliber of the councillor I'm voting for, who tells another councillor sitting in National Assembly standing committee that he or she does not know about whatever project is happening in their vicinity? So what change can that person drive for you? People really need to evaluate. They really need to evaluate in these election seasons. Evaluate the people that are coming to you and asking for you, yeah, vote for me. Ask the basic question, why? What do you think you can change in my life here? What my life looks like today? When we sit with those particular discussions also, Helmut, the NAM PPF, yes, even though it's an inaugural show, yes, it was the first of its kind in the country. Yes, it's something that was actually planned for in last year for this year.
Yeah.
It was implemented this year. Speaks towards something. But then, and this is some of the particular things that I'm not actually convinced are also on.
What's that?
So the president made mention in a speech, and I know the president's speech, a president usually comes there to say, hey guys, let's work team spirit. Let's work together, guys.
Morale boosting.
Yeah, let's do that thing. There's one sentence in her statement where she cites, the government is busy looking at certain pieces of legislation. To try and make the ease of doing business in Namibia easier, like the land bill. Then there were two other particular, but the Namibia Investment Promotion Bill as well. That ministry doesn't exist anymore because it was their bill, Ministry of Trade and Industrialization.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore. So now who do you throw that piece of proposed legislation, who does it fall under? Even though we now know because NIPDB is mentioned in that bill. Yeah. NIPDB is now clearly has been positioned under international relations.
Directorate.
But the other part of an industry is at mines. The other part of industry is at mines. So who's going to be, does the whole thing now to be redrafted to think of mines as mandate and international relations as mandate? Because mines is usually an international relations issue. An international relations issue is usually the mandate where those mining sector is sending their raw materials. I'm sorry, guys, if you guys can hear how my chair is squeaking here in the studio. And Helmut, Helmut is just staring at me going like, what is this guy doing with his arms? Because I'm doing like this gesture in terms of show, you know, as if I'm now busy juggling a whole bunch of, you know,
it's a good thing that's lemons a chair. And, it's a good thing that's a chair, not a bed.
Yeah, to go far, yeah, with beds. So the mining sector is already in an international relations sphere. And international relations is already speaking to the same sphere that the mining sector is speaking to. And which is a big concern. Because if you unbundle that particular approach, we already sit with two ministries who are technically thinking outside inside. They're looking outside.
Yeah.
Because the only people that can participate in mining come from outside.
Yeah.
And they need to get inside the country in order to conduct their business and their activities.
Yeah.
And that's literally what those two ministries do. They look outside for inside beneficiation, which is the other big concern. Let me throw another particular spanner into this works. The other interview I did on Monday, that I conducted on the EMS early morning scoop with Mr. Danny Mayer from SME Compete. He also stated a few things. How about there are basic things like people in Rosh Pinna that think about sending, you know, basic things for fixing like volleyball nets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They send them to Springbok in South Africa across the river, across the border. Why would you drive that far to fix something? Literally to fix something or to source a specific kind of a thing. And the person is in the same town, just down the street from you. And the first thing when Mr. Mayer mentioned that particular, you know, those particular problems, how we have this disjointedness in our local SME industries and sectors.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought about was that people have an issue with marketing. They need to promote their skills so as to become visible. I immediately saw the marketing potential because that means these small businesses need to work with each other. And they don't even know that they live in the same street or from each other. Now ask yourself, Helmut, the conversation I had there with Mr. Mayer and that sentence that came out, that statement, versus this NAM PPF discussion. I saw more wisdom in that 30-minute interview that I did, 29 minutes, than looking at that NAM PPF summit and all those particular discussions that came out. It's probably only the audience that was asking pertinent questions, which was another thing. A lady got up and asked the question of, it's all good and well that the government initiated this youth fund for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And everyone is coming out and literally bashing the government, rightfully so, for the particular perspective of trying to drive youth businesses. But there's a single parent somewhere having to look after kids without a job. There's a person that has a qualification or certification or some sort of a particular level of skill set, but they are overqualified for the jobs in Namibia. These are all people potentially above 25 or above 30. They just need that particular vehicle, that mechanism that can say, hey, we don't want your collateral, but there is a specific target that we want you to achieve when you take this money. And in the next 5 years, you should come and give us proof because we want to go see that your endeavor is working. We don't want to see an oversight committee report like the one we looked at for the National Youth Service and the Minister and the Youth Business Initiatives, where some beneficiaries decided to go and do their own things without informing the ministry.
Look,
or the one, or they go open up a shop right next door to the biggest competition they can ever face. And even the MPC, hey, you guys never marketed yourself. How can you complain that you don't have customers?
Those guys, when they applied for the grant, they had a location that was, that looked at the time somewhat secluded. So they thought they were going to have a very nice market because, the nearest competitor is probably a kilometer or two away.
Yeah.
But, the grants took, according to them, the grants took too long that competitors began to come in and then, they couldn't compete. And, I'm like, okay, competitors were going to come anyway.
Yeah. Competitors are sometimes natural. It's a given that you've got.
So what are you going to do? Well, bottleneck everything and, tell everyone that, we don't want competitors in this, in this radius. Competitors came and they couldn't compete. Then that's where they started telling the standing committee, this is one of the challenges we're going through. Well, we have a big retail, a grocery stores around us, and we're like, really? Well, it's called competition, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're just gonna have to participate.
I mean, I wonder how people in a shopping mall, business owners in a shopping mall feel. You can see your competition across.
Oh, it's fierce.
You can see your competition across the walkway. There's not even a street. It's literally there in the same vicinity. So when you've got
the pain of watching all the customers getting in your competitors, shop and.
Yeah, it's very bad, Ahmed. And specifically when
you need high blood medication to run a business in Namibia.
And antidepressants.
Tequila, ombike, you name it.
Let's not give people suggestions, Ahmed. Let's not.
Like I always say, it's not career advice.
So when you got to look at, the other talking point, of the data sets. Now, at the heart of the data sets, Helmut, getting back to the labor data, we're in 2025. We can't be working and continuously pulling statistics. Back to a 2023 census statistics.
Look, up until 2023, we've been pulling 2011 statistics.
And 2018 statistics. And in between, people died in COVID. And in between, people moved out of the country. And we are still resourcing back to this thing. So,
that's an interesting one. So we're back again to the key of this collabo if it's going to work.
Yeah.
Information gathering on time.
Is that unfortunately the government's agencies, which are all these SOEs, have to start producing data. Data that can be used to make decisions in the private sector. Because then the private sector can say, sure, you know what? We can show up. We can do this. We can provide the solution and stuff like that.
Look, the public sector itself is still, I think, trying to grapple with the information gathering because, I think for the most part is because, I'm tempted to agree with the Office of the Auditor General's report Ministry of Agriculture or Environment, when they say most of them are not agriculture, they're working in silos.
Mm.
Because, I can bet you $5, that's how much I have right now. Come next year, you are going to have a lot of SOEs and ministries being criticized for not submitting procurement plans on time.
It'll still be the same thing.
Yeah, it will still be the same thing. So, one thing I learned during the last year's elections was that, every political party that has a seat in parliament has a portion of the national budget. Given a portion. Obviously, the size of that portion depends on how many seats you have in parliament.
Yeah.
So every political party or basically everyone that has interest in politics knows that. If you have a political party and you don't know that, perhaps you should convert that into a church. I begin to learn one thing, that when it comes to submitting financial statements, especially of political parties, and by the way, it wasn't just political parties that had a problem, submitting financial statements. They're willing to sit there and basically being given money, but when it comes to submitting financial statements on what that money was used for, just for administration, transparency purposes, they're terrible at that. And then I dug deeper and found out that world ministries are terrible at it, local authorities are terrible at it. So, the Sounds of Nam project that we worked on also gave me one clear, basically taught me a thing or two about how terrible we are, most of us, especially Namibians, when it comes to paperwork.
Yeah. No, look, just no one likes this. Edmund. No one likes that. Yeah.
Yeah. So all I just want is, okay, here's the money. Go and buy whatever you want. All I need is a receipt. And then comes back saying, it's either the receipt looks like it was digested by a cow or it doesn't come at all.
And you have to thumbsuck things there.
Yeah. At some point back in 2022, 2023, our accountant yelled at us. First of all, it's a receipt. We all do it all the time. You get in the shop and this is just with your own, this is just with your own finances. Mm. You get in the shop, buy something, you just take your groceries as soon as you leave the store. Where does the receipt go?
In the dustbin.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we've gotten used to...
Or you crumple it up and you put it in your back pocket and you forget it there in the washing.
Yeah, we've gotten used to that when you are working on a project, that mentality is still stuck in there. So when the person that's now responsible for gathering all the financial information so that they can compile a financial report, tells you, okay, according to what you are telling me here, you bought this and this and this. Was the receipt? Because I can't take your words for it.
Mm.
Then becomes a he said, she said type of thing.
Yeah.
And it turns out in the world of finance, documents are needed. Yeah. Yes, I know your position is very high up there. Congratulations for reaching that milestone in your life, but
we don't care. We don't care. We want the documents.
Yeah. Where are the documents?
Yeah.
So, every SOE, for example, every SOE has a, or more like a, every organization, public or private, has a compartmentalized power structure where everyone is playing a role that leads to an overall goal of that institution. So, if someone is doing the shopping, someone is doing the transporting of the products being bought, and in all these series of activities, receipts are being generated. These receipts are then compiled by a specific person or a specific department to report to a specific, specific oversight individual or committee. All these things, I feel like we are very good at losing each other in all these communications, that when it comes to compiling all this information and submitting now, that's when we start going, was I supposed to submit that receipt? Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I was not supposed to throw it again. Yes. Back to the political parties, lack of financial reportings. Because, EZN was on their necks last year. And, that has never happened before. I like the change in administration that happened at EZN. Mm. I feel like the guy that Mr. Sharma succeeded went very soft on political parties. because I think it was in 2019 when he had a meeting on specifically that. It took place in Swakop.
It was a workshop, not a meeting.
Yeah, it was a workshop.
They
yeah.
took the parties.
Set them so, down. It's like, guys.
No, but then they took the parties again in 2023. The reports we did last year were based from 2023.
Set them down, guys.
Submit your stuff.
Exactly.
And then they had another workshop at the start of 2024 to just tell the people again, please, guys.
Please.
Submit your stuff.
And come 2024. Some political parties were being what?
Deregistered.
Were being deregistered because of, and now.
Because of what? No. Not listening.
For those that submitted their stuff, did so 5 minutes to the due date. And that's the same mentality you see in procurement planning in a bunch of ministries and a bunch of SOEs. Mm. And you see the same problem with local authorities. You see the same problem with political parties. So at this point, it's a Namibian problem.
Yes, it is.
Now, with that lack, that's just information gathering when it comes to finances. And if there are entities that are very strict when it comes to finances, it's the private sector. With a track record like that, good luck with that collabo.
Mm.
look, I want it to work, but the thing is, the track record we have set so far, especially in the public sector when it comes to information gathering, compiling, especially on time. Yeah. Very questionable record.
Yeah. So we obviously said with that particular,
conundrum.
You even used a pretty light term. I would call it sort of like with a bowl of fish that has been sun dried the whole year and all the water has literally evaporated out of it. Yes, I know it becomes sun dried fish. Yeah. But the downside of that is we now need to undo that process to achieve a new height for some reason. So the two things that I cited from the two EMS interviews I did in this week, the sports interview and the entrepreneurship discussion. And primarily at the heart of these things is sometimes also we have to upskill people. Remember the youth and green hydrogen discussion where the guy that was trained in being a welder said, hey, listen, in Namibia, the welding level ends at level 4. What is needed for green hydrogen and all other sectors in this new energy transition discussion is you need level 5s or 6 and upwards.
So what you're telling me is we are producing, what does that
mean? Substandard skilled individual.
And can only, you know, weld a burglar windows.
That's all.
Gate. Congratulations on your skill. And I've seen some of these gates. They look very nice. But the thing is, you have to up those skills so you can weld something that's more than a gate.
Now,
I have a friend that does welding. He saw welding me after this.
Think about the welding in its extent. They are very good examples of, and these are technically like your how should we call it? Your rags to riches discussions. There's a very famous business here in Namibia. I just don't know where they are based, but they weld, there's a South African one that does the same, and this is the Namibian one. They weld all these frames for the 18-wheeler trucks.
Whoa.
They weld those frames. Obviously, yes, it's a family business. It grew. But there's obviously also certain particular things that we have to take into consideration. Remember when I mentioned to you the discussion of in Germany, they've got 23 million people that are multimillionaires and above out of 83 million people. That means 23 million people are technically employing the other 60 million besides those that are in government and public office. When you sit with a scenario like that, obviously we've got a long way to go with Vision 2030 to make
that's longer than 2030.
Those production methods to reach that level of population. That's the reason why I elongated my long situation there. Is primarily that you can obviously see what is working already against us. Small market. But a small market also needs to make goods move and to make things actually work locally. So when I say make things move, make goods move, make money move, and make things work locally for each other, it brings us back to the broccoli discussion. That broccoli guy asked a fundamental philosophic question in terms of why are you driving south to bring back the same thing?
Yeah.
Why are you going so far? Which also speaks towards that, you know, there needs to be a connecting point. But let's ask the question fundamentally. If you are producing so much, Helmut, any buyer in any retail store will tell you, but you're producing too much for that town, which is the suspicion I sat with. Broccoli Boy was producing too much for Nkurunkuru. He actually said it. They didn't know what it was he was producing because they were like going, no, what is this thing? Yeah, but we'll buy the leaves.
Yeah, thank you very much for this, but that.
Yeah, we don't know that thing. And what happened? Broccoli had to come southwards to Windhoek. Because there's an appetite, there's a market southwards. Now, I don't see an issue as long as the costs of transport are mitigated somehow in terms of that the pricing does not make things look get out of hand, you know, exponentially. But let's look at this in another scenario. Now someone is busy producing, let's say, oranges in, where's a far off place? that I can use. Karibab. They did everything, threw down the seeds. Now they've got oranges.
Watered them.
Also waited 5 years now that the oranges are there 5 years later. And now they are producing too much for Walvis, Swakop, and Henties Bay to absorb. And the person he wants to talk to tells him, no, the truck will come out of Windhoek. Because Windhoek is a central distributing point. So somewhere, somehow, someone needs to change the particular mentality in terms of just the basics of transportation. Why do things first need to go from the farm to Windhoek first? Why can't it go from, let's say, from a farm to Otjiwarongo, from a farm to Oshakati, from a farm to Rundu, and it distributes it from there in that locality? Because the thing is, Helmut, if you improve on the services offered, let's say those local authorities improve on services on the grounds in each of those localities I mentioned, more people will move to those towns. Those towns will just grow. That local authority will see we need to build more things here, build more stuff there, build more that. For example, Anakleta had the particular story about the informal settlement. It didn't say where, in which part in Kavango East the informal settlement is. But it's now getting street lights. Yeah, because people want to see it at night. I know it's fundamental stuff. It's basics. It's like basic stuff. But that's...
They have toilets, right?
I would... Please. You're the one from Anakleta's region. You're going to have to explain why you asked that question.
No reason. Go on.
So, it's fundamental stuff. But remember, it's not just, let's for example say Rundu. There's other smaller settlements around Rundu that Rundu supports.
Yeah.
And... Rundu will have to play that developmental road. Developmental role. Now, when we've got to look at Namibia's biggest crux, is that everybody obviously looks towards some sort of a comfort. They, you know.
Convenience.
Convenience factors. But before that, let's take an ad break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Windhoek beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Windhoek beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Windhoek, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's discussion is based on the recently held. Recently, that was like mid-October. Yeah, mid-October, Namibia public-private forum. So the public-private partnership collabo to further Namibia's developmental agenda. But finish your statement first before I come in with mine, as we basically will head towards conclusion, because I want to take it on an African level, because I think, we are, you know, like you said before we came, you know, before we started our show, of that we are approaching, this is a continental problem. We are approaching this development thing like, we have a cart in front of the horse.
Yeah. Just like you and I also now realized with Hende here outside in the studio,
yeah,
when we looked at the Lobito Corridor, what was it? What is its actual aim?
Now, before you go there, before you ask yourself what was its actual aim?
What is its actual aim?
Who is funding it?
Yeah.
Because who is funding it?
For
what are their interests?
Yeah.
Now, I know we like to say things like, okay, you know what? It's in my country. I want 100% person. Look, let's be honest here. It's a business that requires money. if you want economic independence, you're going to have to do your own investing.
Yeah.
Which is why I really like this whole public-private forum discussion. It's a very good one. But on a continental level, we are terrible at discussing development because, okay, first of all, we are very good at discussing. Let me just give us credit on that. When it comes to talking, oh, but boy, are we good.
Mm.
But the implementation, we more often come off short. Why? Because a large chunk of Africa, not just Namibia, Africa's economy is based in which sector? Extractive.
Mm.
And this extractive is more often in shipping out a raw material. Mm. So even with the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, the reason why we're selling Nigeria salt, when we could basically sell each other a lot of things, it's because a lot of things that we produce, we don't have, we don't have a lot of capacity in processing it. Now, processing is where employment creation lies. And you don't have to be, an expert to figure that out. When you're processing something, you are dealing with a factory. So this, take oranges, for example. You can make, you can make orange juice out of it.
Mm.
And then you have, food additives can come out of that. Now your detergents, for example, is also going to come out of that. So, how much of this basically does a farmer benefit on? Not much.
Yeah.
Because what they just do is produce an orange, put it in a farm, put it,
With a detergent, Helmut, a detergent uses, what's that thing's name? It's a lab made thing.
Not detergent was a terrible example. What's this? Dishwashing soap. Yeah. They also have, they have some in type of acidic ingredients that you can get from, I think, is it oranges or lemons? I'm not sure.
It would be from lemons. But they can now
make it a synthetic fashion.
Yeah. That's why I'm always impressed by the South Africans. They can make it synthetic now.
Let me guess, from fossil fuel.
No.
From what?
You only get acid that you find in foods.
Yeah.
You only get that from fruits.
So
tartaric acid and citric acid.
Okay, if you are producing it,
which are used in foods and baking.
If you get that synthetic.
Yeah.
How do you produce synthetic citric acid?
They call them food scientists, Helmut. These people. They sit in a lab, and they try to achieve what nature achieved.
That explains all the side effects for most of this food.
So as you can obviously see, I showed you what level you also have to incorporate into the food manufacturing complex of your country.
No, just look at it from an African perspective. The way that we're heavily reliant on the extractive sector, and we're here to, we yip a lot about Africa Continental Free Trade Area. What are we planning on trading? Look, it's a brilliant idea. It's a noble idea.
Yeah. What are we going to send?
What are we planning on trading?
What are we going to send to each other?
We have the Lobito corridor that's going to most likely ship out a lot of copper.
And it's going to ship in a lot of almost nothing.
It's going to ship in a lot of copper wire.
No, it's not.
Because we are buying it.
Oh, The concern that I believe,
and a lot of computer chips that are also made with a significant amount of copper.
Yeah, and lithium, and the batteries. Apparently, there's a new kind of a battery technology that beats lithium in.
And lithium polymer?
No, it's a different. It's a different particular metal.
Yeah, because I was going to be like new because I know that lithium polymer. I've seen several Huawei handsets with the lithium polymer battery.
Yeah, but there's also, is it graphite or graphene?
Accidental discovery.
No, it's graphene or graphite. Apparently, it's a Chinese invention. Stores electricity also a lot longer than lithium.
Graphene is an allotrope of carbon that was discovered, I think, by scientists, by accident with a pencil and sellotape, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
It turns out, that's when I found out there's a whole list of accidental discoveries.
Mm.
Including microwave. I was so disappointed in that one.
Mm. So when we obviously sit there looking at the particular talking points that come about, I think this NAM PPF discussion should have been about how do we look at Namibians for economic development?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, are we talking to ourselves in an echo chamber to say, let's serve a particular purpose of trying to create wealth and create a lot of prosperity in the Namibian public and private sector? Or are we actually saying that we've got to achieve goals for the everyday Namibian on the ground? I always make this particular statement, Helmut, because I look at the messaging, I look at the discussions. One businessman I also won't mention names, was at this NAM PPF. He stood up and he literally said the business he's also a partner of is the one that does airport services in the much publicized discussion.
Yeah.
That took place last year as well in Namibia about who should win that particular tender for airport services. And he cited there specifically that the talking point is that you've gotta get the private sector people in to the boardrooms of the SOEs. And then I sat there frowning when I heard that statement. I sat there frowning the whole time in front of my screen going like, what? To what are you, is the statement born out of? And I'm just taking the words, I'm not taking the person who said it. The statement born out of this particular discussion, is it based upon to further or advance, let's for example say, the potential problematic business dealings that we can already see because we've got the NAMCOR situation, which looks like a whole bunch of problematic business dealings.
Oh, yeah.
Or are you saying this out of a scenario to try and rapidly grow some sort of a sector? But is it a growth based upon, let's achieve the growth through just sort of like having this ring-fenced economic activity? Or is it growth like what the green hydrogen guys want to do, where they're making the lofty promises of close to 400,000 people to employ? And all those guys are explaining to you, and this is what no one at that in NAMPPF even explained. All the green hydrogen presentations I've seen so far, and the question and answer sessions I've applied, they're the only sector besides the industrial baseline survey guys that have said, the oil and gas sector guys, that these are the phases that will take place. These are the planned projects that will take place. No one at this NAMPPF gave such a breakdown because everyone was coming and standing there. Yeah, we want this. You're all protocol observed. And then they're obviously saying, Madam President here and Mr. Prime Minister over there. And everything was a white glove situation. But it was a white glove situation because they knew now they had to come and explain in front of the whole country, in front of the president.
I can imagine the pressure.
There was no pressure. There was no pressure. That question that Mr. Aikale asked about, you know, bridging the gap of international certifications for people like him. Yeah. He's not a business person per se, Helmut, but he's someone that sits with a specific skill set that can unlock an economic activity. But just because, like in his words, we sit with 8-to-5 mentalities in other parts of the economy, you're obviously just going to stay stuck where you are. Baking bread, looking at the sky, and hoping for manna from heaven.
We have perpetuated that mentality for a very long time, which is why, you know, which is why everyone, and we have all been through this. If you ran into anyone, you know, anyone when they were still in school, anyone that has gone through high school, they've been through tertiary, and if you rewind back and, you know, and find them in the class and ask them, what would you like to become? Everyone wants to become an engineer, a doctor, a nurse, a teacher. The question is, a teacher at whose school? A nurse at whose hospital? Now, we're not thinking beyond that in saying, okay, you know what, we're going to set this up. And again, that's why I like to say that, not everyone wants to be, you know, not everyone wants to an 8-to-5. There are a lot of Namibians that just want the environment, that phrase, the ease of doing business type of environment.
Yeah. Now, how do you get to a level, Helmut, where, let's for example say, Peter Shalulile is not a, sorry for using the guy's name again, is not a business owner.
Yeah.
But he's being paid $500,000 a month. Now, if someone gets paid $500,000 a month to kick a ball, to ensure that they are scoring because they are bonuses.
Yeah.
Every time you score, there's a bonus payment. So, and there's an appearance bonus. And if you make it to the bench, there's a bonus. If you make it to the match day 11, there's a bonus. Now that person, Helmut, is not a business person. That person is not a business person. That's why there are realms in this economy that are literally open for anyone to participate in, for us all to benefit from.
Nah.
But we're approaching this with an 8-to-5 mentality.
Yeah. Extractive, strictly.
Government, post office worker. I'm sorry if you're a post office worker. I'm sorry. But that's the old adage in English. We're acting like post office workers. But anyway, let's quickly take a live read.
Anytime, I mean, anything anytime soon.
Let's take a quickly live read. Velvice University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the new programs of the Faculty of Health Sciences. For the Master of Public Health, Level 9, mode of delivery is for distance. Areas of specialization include maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is $230 million. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Small break. Where did that English come from? I hate it a lot. Small.
Yeah. And footing.
Wait, that's wrong?
Yeah.
Of course, I knew that already.
The sentence is, I walked there.
Yeah. We walked, walk. You see, the thing is, in Bantu languages, a repetition emphasizes magnitude. So then you bring it in English. We ran.
When life gifts you an unexpected expense...
How must I afford a new phone now?
Take control with Express Credit. Get reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars. Repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 90,000.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumuna oijabo ili nawa ninge Fata Fanona, Monica, Ko, Eagle FM, Onora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Vera Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Matatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of, just a minute past the hour of six. Pardon moi. That brings us to the end of Home Run for today. So until tomorrow, same time, same place, but it's important to, same time, same place here on Eagle FM now to basically, run away. The question I keep asking myself, even for the Africa Continental Free Trade Area is, if we are shipping out everything means, the more we ship out means the less we process. The less we process means the less room of employment creation that you are creating.
But now, we can also ship out a lot of what we have processed.
What do we process?
Look, if you make the underwear, instead of just shipping out the cotton, the raw cotton, the underwear gives you more value.
Yeah.
They pay a higher price because the thing is already processed. So if you have the copper and you convert it into the copper wiring, the copper wiring brings you more money.
No, except we are building
the copper extract.
Except we are building a Lobito corridor to ship it out, and then
Well, that's not us, Helmut. That's Zambia, DRC, and Angola. That's not Namibia.
Africa, continental free trade area.
Yeah, that's an Angolan, Zambia, and DRC issue. I mean, if the Lobito Corridor was about, yes, this is passenger transport and coupled with cargo transportation and all kinds of modes of transport on those railway lines, because the discussion I had at the start of this year on literally on the home run was, if that was three railway lines right next to each other, you could do so much things.
Except the priorities. First of all, I have money. I want to ship, you know, I want to connect your port to my mine somewhere in the middle of DRC. Now, what I want is, my sole objective is to transport copper.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, what business, my interest is not transporting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my interest. So when I take my money, I'm going to invest it into transporting what I want to transport.
Yeah.
So if you want to transport people, you're going to have to, throw in your own investment. Except no, we don't. Well,
because the whole of Africa is part of what?
Oh dear.
There we go, Helmut. There we go.
Until tomorrow.
Same time, same place, dear listeners. Enjoy the rest of your evening in our company. We'll be back right after the break for our next program.
Cake J Alice More.
Sin Jela Mora, ni cake J Alice More.